you are the youngest candidate for county commissioner in this primary. Why now?
Oh, thank you. That's a really great question. I think that before getting into this, I really had to look around and see what was being offered by all of the other candidates. And I wanted to see if there was the perspectives that I had represented. And I really feel like I have something very unique to offer the board right now. When I moved down here at the end of, in the middle of 2009, it was right after I had graduated. And the beginning of my professional experience was very much defined by coming into a job market that was completely unforgiving. I know that a lot of people my age wound up having to move back in with their parents, struggled for years to find any kind of meaningful work. And a lot of us are still really dealing with the consequences of that. As a result, living here, although I have absolutely loved it, my wife and I fell in love with this area after just 3 days of being here almost by accident. It's been a very difficult experience in a lot of ways. We've struggled to find affordable housing. We've struggled to find the kind of jobs that actually allow you to make a living here. And we had to work really, really hard. I had to put myself back through community college while working two part-time jobs. I feel like I'm incredibly fortunate to be able to be where I am today. But I think that that is a perspective that we are sorely lacking on the board. There are a lot of young people who live here who are going through exactly those kinds of experiences. And I can feel their pain in a way that I don't think that some of the other candidates can. And I can speak to that experience with a little more authenticity.
You've spoken about the need for smart growth in New Hanover County. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that in the past it hasn't been terribly smart?
Yes, I would say that that's a pretty fair assessment of it. And I don't think that there are a lot of people who would argue about that. Even the current county board seems to say like, oh, well, you know, we're having to deal with the decisions that were made by past county commissioners. Now, we really can't blame them for that. The whole idea of planning for sustainable growth is something that's really only emerged in the last 20, 15 years. But that also means that we have a really great opportunity now to change things into a different direction. We're projected to grow by 100,000 people by 2040. If we don't plan for that, that's going to be a really big problem. People already right now experience the problem of living on, say, up either in Wrightsboro or on the north side of town and having to work, you know, on the southern part of town or downtown, and everyone has to deal with this enormous congestion. If we don't prepare for that additional population coming in, that is only something that's going to get worse. What's exciting about that is that there's really an opportunity right now to look at it, face up to it, and say, okay, let's learn from the past. We haven't done this right before, but that doesn't mean we have to be locked in a cycle of bad decisions. We can get ahead of it, we know what works, and we can plan for a much more sustainable, much more purposeful, and much more equitable future.
It's difficult to grow and to bring new businesses to town, but continue to protect the environment.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance that?
Well, what's really exciting, again, is that those actually really go hand in hand. In my day job, I'm a green building technician. And at my company, we believe that the key to sustainability is something we call the triple bottom line. And that means that in order for something to be truly sustainable, it has to be good for the environment, good for the people, and good for profit. And if you don't have all of those things in one, then it isn't truly sustainable. You'll be able to make do for a while, but eventually you're going to run up against a road where you have run out of one of your resources. You have completely overrun your capacity to continue. Now, a lot of the things that really allow a community to thrive is a kind of density and a kind of a mode of transportation, an ease to transportation that really allows communities to prosper. So you actually can use the same amount, if not less, land to accomplish an extremely larger amount of growth and a much easier mode of transportations and a lot more economic activity. And that's what really excites me about getting into the county commission, and being a part of those discussions, because I believe, you know, we only have, I think, 13% developable land left in the county that we haven't already built on or have set aside for parks or as protected land. We really need to start thinking about this now. We are a small county. But that doesn't mean that our ambitions need to be small.
So does that mean improving our current situation when it comes to public transportation?
Absolutely. Right now, Wave Transit is funded by both the city and the county.
But mostly by the city.
Mostly by the city. Yeah. I believe it's a $1.2 million that the city contributes, and the county commission contributes about a quarter of that, about $300,000. And that just is not enough if we're going to be prepared for the kind of influx of population that we all know is going to come. If we're going to have that, there's only two real choices. Either get ready for another 100,000 cars on the road, or find ways to allow people to not be on the road. And that's obviously going to be, in a large part, Wave Transit, public transportation. But there are other things as well. How can we keep people off the roads entirely, or at least give them the option to be off the road if they don't want to deal with the traffic? How do we make communities more accessible by bike? How do we make them accessible to just walking around? Those are going to be the bigger challenges that we're going to face. It's not just public transportation, and it's not just getting rid of cars. It's going to be the full suite of options for transportation.
Education comes up quite a bit, public education, when we're talking about New Hanover County. What are your thoughts on the current situation in terms of the quality of that education and also on trying to improve school safety?
Now, this is such an important question. I know for myself that when my parents decided to start a family, they looked around really hard to try to figure out in our small rural county, what place are we going to have the best chance to be able to afford a home and to make sure that our kids are going to get a good education? And that was why they picked my hometown. It was a tiny little place. There wasn't a lot going on there, but it had a really nice small school system. And that was so important to them. And unfortunately, that didn't really last throughout my entire academic career. By the time I was in 11th and 12th grade, we started seeing the school budgets getting slashed. And as a result, a lot of people stopped looking to our town as a place to want to raise a family. And today, it's just about died. I graduated with a small group of 86 people. A lot of us had families that had gone back in that community for a long time. And hardly any of them at all stayed because there was no future for them. And so I know firsthand just how important it is to make sure that there is access to good quality education. Now, we're a little different here in that it's not a case where we're just going to say, oh, well, we'll have this school system for that population and this school for that population. We're a small, dense county. We need to make sure that we don't have people who are feeling like, oh, this is the only place that I can afford, but it means that my kids are going to be in a school system where they're not given the same kind of experience and the same kind of resources that some other kids have. I know that in some schools, there are kids who have to sit down on the floor in class because they don't have enough desks. In others, we've resorted to having classrooms in trailers. That's unacceptable. We have teachers who are getting paid. I think we're in the bottom half of the states in terms of teacher salary, and they're going out and buying their own school supplies. I don't know anyone who thinks that that means that we're absolutely getting teachers who are able to give it their all, or students who are receiving the very best that we can offer. If we want this area to truly thrive, we need to be able to invest better into our children. That's what I know that people who want to move here are looking for. It's what the residents here are calling out for. And it's definitely something that employers who are looking to come to this area are looking for. Now, when it comes to school safety, this is something I've talked a little bit about before. Our schools should be a place where every student feels safe. And that doesn't just mean that we're putting, you know, guards at the doors, or we've got metal detectors, or that they're easily to secure. It means that there is an environment there that cares and nurtures for them. The national standard for mental health psychologists and behavior specialists to students is one mental health professional to every 500 to 700 students. In New Hanover County, it's closer to one to every 1,500 students. Now, take safety aside for just a second. That means that there are so many kids in this community whose real struggles are going unrecognized by the system. That should be enough to tell us we need to change this. We have to protect the emotional lives of our children because, first off, because we have a responsibility to do that. I truly believe that as a community, but also because it affects who they become as adults. Add into that that we live in a world where it is very easy for someone who is disturbed, who is troubled, or who is just really angry to go out and get a weapon that has the potential to inflict a lot of violence And now that has become a safety issue. So to me, it really is about making sure that we have the right resources so that kids never get to that place where they are just that troubled, where they are just that angry, so that then they go into school, they always know that there is someone there, some adult who is going to listen to them, who is going to care about them, and can just give them the time they need to be heard and to be cared about. That's really important to me on a whole number of levels.
Water. How has New Hanover County dealt with the challenges it's faced the last 8 or 9 months in terms of perfluorinated compounds? And what do you think the county, if anything, could be doing better?
Yeah, this is an area that has really deeply troubled me as a resident and as someone who has been drinking the water for a very long time, as someone who's looking to start a family in this area. I've been very disappointed with the response to the Gen X crisis. Going right back to the beginning, it seemed very obvious that the county and the CFPUA, including the members of the CFPUA who were appointed by the county, did not go out of their way to reassure the public, to explain what was going on to the public, and to let the public know that they were going to work on our behalf. It seemed to me that there were a lot of efforts to really work with the state legislature to help block Governor Cooper's request to make sure that the DEQ had the tools that they needed to make sure that our environment was safe. Now, fortunately, the DEQ has been able to do a large part of its job, and we've seen a really large drop in the presence of Gen X along with all the other compounds in our water. I believe they're now well below the public health limit. However, Vince, as you know, I was just at a panel put on by some researchers from
NC State,
yes, yep. Exactly, talking about the research that they've done. And while they all said, yes, fortunately, we've come down well below the public health limit, they were pressed by the audience and asked, if you were living in this area, would you let your family drink the water? And to a person, they said no. They said they would either find a way to get some filtration system for their own home, or they would try to get some kind of a reverse osmosis water or have it from some other source. Now that's, frankly, as just someone who drinks water, that's really scary. And it's upsetting to me that there has not been more signaling and more effort on the part of the county to send the message to Raleigh that this is an unacceptable situation. I can guarantee you that there are definitely some employers and other people looking to invest in this area who have heard about Gen X and are saying, maybe not. Because if these researchers are saying they don't want to drink the water, I don't think I do either.
You're walking down the street, it's just a couple days before Election Day, and you ask someone for their vote, and they ask you, you've got 30 seconds to convince me. What do you say?
I would say to them this. I'm a green building technician, and I'm someone who's been here for 10 years, loves this county fiercely, and who wants to spend the rest of my life here. But I'm concerned that we're not going in the right direction. I'm concerned that we're not ready to handle the growth that we're going to experience. But I think that I know some ways to help us do that. And I believe that my experience and my work effort and my values will allow us to do that. And I would ask for your vote if you agree that we need some smart development in this area.
James Middleton is running for New Hanover County Commissioner in the primary election in May. James, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Vince.